Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So how much time have you spent just thinking about him? How much time have you spent simply contemplating his beauty, his wonder, his majesty, or his strength? Has he filled your devotion, that is, your desire, more than anything else? The old hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, ends with a vision of the resurrected church. Finish then thy new creation, true and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Lost in wonder, love, and praise. Have you lately been lost in Jesus? People estimate that 18,350 children are born every hour. If true, that means that already this morning, across the world, over 100,000 babies have been born. What are those families with new babies doing? Wherever things have gone well, they're holding that child, and they're just looking. They're smiling, crying, and laughing, commenting on her eyes or the shape of his head, how her mouth is like dad's or his nose is like mom's. When a newborn child enters a room, people are very quickly lost in wonder, love, and praise. And now think that God chose to enter the room as a newborn child. Preachers often comment on how the birth of Jesus points to who he will be. His birth in Bethlehem, the city of David, points to how he will be the true king of Israel. His birth among animals as well as humans paints a picture of how he will redeem all of creation. His first night's sleep in a manger points to his sleep in a tomb, and his swaddling cloths to the grave clothes that Joseph of Arimathea wrapped around his body. If all that is true, then surely his arrival as a baby points to how Jesus is the true wonder of creation, the one whom his Father adores and whom the church will praise. When did you last get lost in Jesus? For here is the truth. This child, Jesus, is more yours than Mary's. Martin Luther put it that way first. As the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Say it with me. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. Or as St. John writes, Jesus didn't simply become Mary's son. He became flesh. He became the stuff that you are. God became you, not only in the womb of Mary, but also throughout his life. Like you, Jesus became a child who exasperated his parents, getting lost in Jerusalem, not really lost, but staying at the temple beyond what they expected. Like you, he became baptized, washed for our sins in the Jordan River. Like you, he became a hungry person and a tempted person out in the wilderness of life facing the devil. Like you, he thirsted. Like you, he touched sickness and death. Like you, he was misunderstood. Like you, he prayed. Like you, he wept and he worried. He knelt in anguish and he bled. Like you, he suffered and he died. And to think, already having become you in so many ways, he hasn't stopped but even now becomes your bread and calls you his body. Stop and think about that. God, who is flesh in Jesus, becomes your bread and calls you his body. He is more yours than Mary's. Mary held him in her arms, but you take him on your lips. Mary brought him into the world, but he took himself into your grave. Mary raised him, but he has promised to raise you. Listen to this. Martin Luther once said this about Mary in 1531, 16 years after the Reformation started. He said, "Mary is the highest woman and the noblest gem in Christianity after Christ. She is nobility, wisdom, and holiness personified. We can never honor her enough." Luther said that about Mary. He said that we can never honor her enough. And yet he also says that her son is more yours than hers. So what does that say about you? What honor and nobility, what wisdom and holiness have come to you? And surely we should be honoring each other. So since this baby is yours, it is time to get lost in him. Surely today, but also every day, it is time to hold this Jesus in your arms, to count him as your baby, and gaze upon him and simply contemplate who he is. You know, there's lots of debates out there about who Jesus is. And sometimes Christians can wave all of those away and say, oh, who can ever figure out exactly who Jesus is? What matters is what he did for us. What matters is what he taught us. But be careful, dear Christians. Is there anyone else in your life whom you actually love, to whom you'd ever say, I don't care who you are, nor do I want to know more about you. All I care is what you do for me. No. True love seeks the beloved and can never learn enough about him. And so God comes to you as a baby on the arms, a child who can do nothing but be adored, as a sign and lesson that as he came, so he will always be. More here to suffer than to accomplish. Here to die more than to live. Here to sacrifice more than to rule. And thus he calls you to wonder, to love, and to praise. Listen to these words from our second lesson again. Words that fly beyond our comprehension, and yet just so they fill our minds with blessing. He is the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. That's who you're about to eat and drink. The radiance of the glory of God. The exact imprint of his nature. The one who upholds the universe right into your belly, losing himself in you. What else can we do but lose ourselves in him? May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.